This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening. You are listening to The Priest and the Pom, known as Bertie and Joy. And welcome to the Spirit Lounge. This is our second one. We're here every Monday night from 9 till 10. And we have a packed hour of chat and interviews and music. And of course, my favourite bit, the Spirit Spa segment at 9:50. Our interview tonight is with an amazingly spiritual religious leader, gay activist and humanitarian. And we're going to be speaking to her in about 10 minutes' time. Good evening, priest. How are you?
Good evening, Pom. You notice that we're still missing the poof. And well, the last I saw of him was on Facebook, standing by a river, which was a bit of a worry. I just hope he's got his water wings. But hopefully he's paddling very fast down the river. And we'll be back next week.
Well, he didn't know how he was getting home, did he? So maybe he's trying to kind of thumb a lift on a, you know, rubber dinghy.
Yeah, well, he's probably got a, you know, good chance of doing that. Or get in a helicopter with one of the politicians. He'll get back. He'll talk his way around. He'll get back.
He's got the gift of the gab, hasn't he?
Exactly. Now, if you're listening to us tonight, and we hope someone is, we'd like to invite you to email to onair@joy.org.au, or you can SMS us on 0427 569 949. Let us know if you're enjoying the show, and just let us know that someone is out there listening to us. Tonight's music is actually been selected
by our guest.
And these are her favorite artists, and because she's Canadian, we sort of have a lot of Canadian artists.
I wonder who might be included, Joy.
Oh, well, our first one is actually Josh Groban, and with the beautiful song, You Raise Me Up.
When I am down and all my to more than I can be.
A beautiful track by Josh Groban there. And you're listening to The Priest and the Pom in the Spirit Lounge on Monday evening. Welcome. Now, on Friday, we were very fortunate to speak with Diane Fisher, who serves as an elder of the Metropolitan Community Church. Her region covers eastern Canada, the northeast US, and much of central and eastern Europe. Diane is based in Massachusetts, although she's a Canadian citizen. Prior to becoming an elder, she served as pastor of a Metropolitan Community Church in Belleville, Ontario. She's a graduate of the Centre of Christian Studies and a theological school with roots in the United and Anglican Churches of Canada and a long tradition of openly accepting and supporting gay and lesbian students. This school is recognised as a seminary by MCC. She has been active in the fight for LGBT rights, including the campaign for same-sex marriage. She and her spouse Judy were married in 2004, and she has a daughter, Carly. Diane.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
We're good too, thank you. I think it's slightly warmer here than it is over in Massachusetts, so I hope you've got the central heating on.
I like it this cool, though, so it's okay.
Well, it's super to have you on the show. Diane, you are an elder with the MCC, which is the Metropolitan Community Church. Now, I'm personally not that familiar with the MCC. Tell me a little bit more about the church.
Well, Metropolitan Community Church, it began about 41 years ago when a gay minister was kicked out of his church. And he went through a lot of soul searching and ultimately felt called to start a church in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he did. And it was for those people who were gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or otherwise disenfranchised by the mainline church. And so MCC was born, and we have continued to minister largely with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, but also with those who feel disenfranchised by their own communities.
Wow, that was really quite progressive.
Diana's Joy here. How did you actually discover MCC in the first place?
Okay, well, I had always been a person who had been involved in the church, but I had left the church in the mid-70s because they didn't really like who I was. They didn't like that I was a lesbian or a woman, and neither one of them would they allow into professional ministry because only men could be ministers. So I left the church and just found my own way with my faith and worked, you know, with my grandmother a lot around my faith and keeping that strong. And then I ended up having a child, Carly, whose dads are two gay men, and wanted to bring her up in the church. And a friend said she was going to this gay church and would I like to go with her because she didn't really want to go alone. So I went with her. Carly was just an infant and walked in the door. I have never left. And she, I don't know what happened to the woman I went with, but at that point, I felt like I had come home, that it was okay to be all of who I was and to just experience my faith in a place that honored me for who I was and who I loved.
That is such a heartwarming story. That's just gorgeous, fabulous. And you've obviously never left, you've stayed with them. So you became a minister, and what's your current role with the MCC now?
Well, within our structure, we have elders, which are those people who are spiritual leaders for our denomination. And we also work with many other people to sort of help strengthen our local churches. Also, we do things out in the world to try and reach LGBT people who have been ostracized wherever they are, or are living in situations where there is no safe haven.
Actually, can I backtrack 1 minute? Because there's something you said earlier which is fascinating. Obviously, your grandmother was a great influence.
Yes.
In what way?
My grandmother was a woman of... well, I had two grandmothers who were actually very influential. One of them was an Anglican and very staunchly faithful, and my other gran was more involved with First Nations spiritual tradition. And so I was well cared for in that way.
How fabulous. I mean, to have that support, not just your mother's generation, but actually your grandmother's generation is fabulous. Absolutely super.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Bertie, who's the Pomp, and Rev Joy, who's, I was going to say the Poof, but that doesn't quite work, does it?
Is there something you want to tell me?
Not tonight, dear. Tonight we're listening to an interview we did on Friday morning with Reverend Elder Diane Fisher. And here, coming up now, is part two of that interview. Diane, reading about you on Wikipedia is actually quite interesting and quite revealing. It talks about your role in Eastern Europe. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you do there and some experiences?
Okay. Sure. Eastern Europe was... Well, we went through a period of time about 7 years ago where we changed the way we looked at working in the church in the world. And we went from areas that were considered, an extension or outreach or global outreach to every single part of the world incorporated into an area that worked with an elder. And I, at that time, was tasked with working with, as a part of the area, I was tasked with working with Eastern Europe. Now, we have a flat policy that we do not go where we aren't invited. But I had previously worked with a young man from Romania over some immigration difficulties, and he had gone back to Romania ultimately, and he invited me to come over and meet with the LGBT community there. And so I went over to Bucharest and met with the just sort of fledgling gay community. The director of an organization called Accept was at that time Florin Bushenu, and he's the person who I've continued to work with and is in fact now on Metropolitan Community Church staff. Anyways, when we went there, they had never had any kind of a gay celebration. They had never had any kind of gay events, and they certainly had a gay center. But the first time we gathered with people, we met in a small room in a very dark building, where to get into the building, and people were harassed as they walked into the building. They had stones thrown at them. And we met there for our very first worship service and a time of getting to know each other. And from that, we worked with that community in achieving what they set as their goals. They had set their goals at wanting to start to have a gay celebration, and so we began to work with them doing that. And so the first couple of years they had film festivals and they had workshops, and we participated in those. And then they decided to take the leap of faith and have their first march. And so I went over when they had scheduled their first gay fest march, and it was a gay pride march. And when I got there, they had initially been given the okay, because they had, in 2002, enshrined LGBT rights in the Romanian Constitution. They had done that so they could get into the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
They had, however, done nothing about making it real. So when we got there, I went directly from the airport to the mayor's office, where he had called a meeting saying he was not going to issue the permit. Florin and I left, and Florin said, "What should we do?" And I said, "Well, you've got a couple of options as I see it, and one of them is to march anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Another is to start a campaign, but you really need to go back and talk to your board and see what they want to do." So we decided from that to continue to hold the march and to lead a protest about them denying us our ability to march. And so it was MCC that led an email campaign, and we had about 5 days, and in that time we must have done 200 press interviews and TV shows. We really perked the interest of the European media in particular, but there was even some Australian media there. We had had responses from as far away as Australia during that time, because they all copied me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mayor put a stop on his email account. I had asked people to fax to send me a copy of them anyways, and we faxed them to his fax number. We shut down their phone, which was quite wonderful.
Fabulous.
And ultimately, the president of Romania came out in support of the march, the minister of justice came out in support of the march, and finally, the mayor gave a permit and said the police would be there to protect them. So yeah. We marched, there were 350 people present, and that's how we began working in Eastern Europe.
That is such an amazing story, and, you know, you touched on something quite interesting, because there were so many Eastern European countries who, you know, wanted to tick all the boxes to join the EU, but it sounds like Romania were about to not fulfil their obligation, and it's great to see with your influence and leadership that they did. So important.
It, it was my participation with the existing leadership in that country, and mm-hmm. I think it's really important to give the people that live in that country mm-hmm. their, they went out on a limb, they lived there all the time. I, on mm-hmm. the other hand, could go home, mm-hmm. And they did all the work, and so Florin was the driving force behind all mm-hmm. that, and the board of Exchef.
Yeah, on what basis, at that time, on what basis were Romania's citizens so opposed to openly gay celebrations and activities? Was it religion-driven or was it culturally driven?
Religion-driven.
Right. And what is the main religion in Romania?
The Romanian Orthodox Church.
Right. Okay.
It's actually Christmas in Romania tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So it's Christmas Eve right now.
Oh, wow. That's unusual.
Well, no, for all the Orthodox countries, Christmas is tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay, there's something I didn't know. And you are listening to The Priest and The Pom. And our guest panellist tonight is Peter the Puff. And I couldn't have said that if I'd had a drink. You're on Joy 94.9, and we've been listening to the Reverend Elder Diane Fisher, who was talking to us on Friday all the way over there in the States in Massachusetts. Lots more of that to come, but we're playing her music tonight, and this lady needs no introduction whatsoever. Canadian's most famous songstresses. This is Celine Dion and A World to Believe In.
I've seen the tears and the heartache. I can live, I can dream once again. 'Cause you made me believe.
And you're with Rev Joy and Bertie, and of course, the gorgeous Peter on Joy 94.9. And tonight we're talking with Reverend Elder Diane Fisher. And so we're now going to go to part three of our interview with her. And you've also been involved in other protests that have been led by religious leaders, haven't you, in Eastern European countries?
Yes.
I'm thinking particularly about the one with the bus. Would you like to mind sharing that one with us?
I was involved in Moldova, Chișinău, Moldova. And we've been going there for a number of years, and we actually had a small faith community there that we worked with. Every year they invited me to come over and do workshops with them on LGBT people of faith, gay and lesbians, homosexuality in the Bible, and on how to deal with, religious extremists and homophobia, because they're, religious extremists push the edges on dealing with not just LGBT issues, but women's rights, abortion, all those things. And Moldova has the Russian Orthodox Church, and the Russian Orthodox Church isn't all bad, but there were some factions of it that were quite extreme. And so what happened was the government had finally passed a law, and they had been found guilty by the European Court of Human Rights and told they must allow gay pride marches or they must allow demonstrations. And there was a new law in the books that said 50 or fewer people could gather. When I initially arrived, they had said, yes, but the police would be out to watch the march and people could march. Well, apparently, there was a lot of pushback from the church and from the police. And so the mayor had to recant. And we were already all there. So we didn't quite know what to do. We tried the email campaign, and it didn't seem to have any impact because they could not get the police to agree to protect. So we decided we would go out and we would just do a few speeches. We knew that you could have 50 people, without a permit. So 40 of us went in a bus, and then there were three hired security guards that would be in the around the bus. And so we got there on the bus, and it looked quite good. Everything looked fine. And then I heard this noise, and I looked out the back window of the bus, and there were hundreds of people running at the bus. I couldn't believe how many there were. And they surrounded the bus, and they were holding up crosses and Bibles and pounding on the windows and shaking their fists and calling us names. And it was quite scary because most of the people on the bus were very young. You know, they're not, and there was no way off because we were surrounded. So then I heard some more rattling in the back of the bus, and they had unhooked the engine, and there were people standing there with lighters trying to set it on fire. And I told the bus driver they'd messed around with the engine, and he got off the bus, and they took him and beat him up. And then they started really going at the bus. Two of the religious leaders finally did work on get onto the bus by forcing the doors. And so we asked what they needed to keep these young people safe. And they said, "We want all your signs and banners." So our signs said things like, "Love your neighbor as you like and love yourself." "God loves us all. We are all created in God's image." "Would Jesus discriminate?" Really radical things like love.
Yeah, sure.
So we passed them all hand over hand to the front of the bus, and they gathered them all up and literally threw them out of the bus, and people fell on them as though it was meat and they were hungry dogs. And we, the bus driver was allowed back on the bus. They rehooked up the engine, and we took off and went back to the office. Well, all of the young people quickly dispersed until there was about 10 of us, and we were making decisions about what to do next. When we got word that they were on their way to GenderDoc, which is where we were meeting, and GenderDoc is the group that was sponsoring all of this. So we got everybody into a van that I had, and I was driving, and we went to a hotel. Well, the van wasn't subtle. It had rainbow banners down the side. Not one of my better moves. And we, when we left, sure enough, they did come, and they came and trashed the place. And we got out just in time. We got back to the hotel, and the hotel was fine with us being there. And they said, "But you need to move the van." And so Florin and I went out to move the van. The police were sitting out front, and as we left the hotel parking lot, two cars came up beside us on either side, pounding on us. It was more of the protesters who knew where we were. And so we kept driving, and finally the police, three police cars descended on us, and it took me to the police station, along with our lovely van, and questioned me about what I was doing and why I was holding worship services. I had held a worship service, which we had called a workshop. The police had visited it. So ultimately, they questioned me for about 4 hours, and Amnesty International came, and I was released but had to reappear the next day. Well, they then let me take the van, and then their secret police followed me and the van. So we parked the van away from where we were staying, but it was too late. They already knew where we were staying, and we were hosting a Bible study that night, and they had the secret police interrogating everybody as they went into the building. I still went there, still planned on holding it if anybody showed up, but I didn't think anybody would because they disappear then. In Moldova, if they're not, you know, if something happens that they're, the secret police get a hold of you, the police, people just disappeared. Well, 12 young people still showed up. They braved it all. And we did hold the Bible study. and they weren't picked up. The police, I had to show up the next morning, so I went the next morning, and they again took me to the head of the detectives, the head of the police, the head of the Secret Service, all interviewing me, and nobody interviewed me in English. And they didn't provide me with a translator.
Fabulous.
You know, they broke a number of conventions. But ultimately, Amnesty again said, what is it you want from her? They said, we want her to pay a fine for an illegal term, which was interesting because they had never mentioned that before. But I paid it was a $6 fine. So I paid the $6 fine. And then we were, we did one more TV interview, and we left the country.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Rev Joy and Bertie. And thanks to Les for his SMS, and I hope you're continuing to enjoy the show. And also to Dot and Beck, I hope it was worth stopping the movie to listen to us.
And I've had one too. I would like to say a huge hi to Rachel and Bridget. Thanks, girls. It's lovely to know that you're listening tonight. Fantastic. Now, we have another song coming up. This is Diane's next song choice. Another wonderful Canadian songstress who I haven't heard in a very, very long time. And as soon as my friend Joy over here saw the playlist and the option of song, she had to choose the one,
yes,
with K.D. Lang, and this is called A Love Song.
There's a wren in the willow wood, peaceful feeling of mine. Whoa, 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 whoa.
And that was a gorgeous K.D. Lang. Oh, sorry, and Anne Murray with A Love Song. You're with Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. We're listening to Reverend Elder Diane Fisher tonight, and she's sharing with us her experiences in Moldova, and we're going to now go to the last part of the interview.
There has since been an election, and they have elected a more progressive government because they had a communist government at the time. But it's a very difficult country. It's the poorest country in Europe. Mm. And so it's a very difficult country to live in, and a very difficult country for LGBT people. Now, they're very courageous there with everything they do. And they have made the decision not to try another march for a few more years.
So are you still allowed back in the country, or does your U-turn preclude you from
it? Well, you know, the one thing about me is because I'm the head of a church in Canada, because I am, essentially what people would consider the residing bishop of Canada, I have a little bit more visibility,
right,
than most people would, which gives me an ability to talk and to be present in ways that it's not safe for people within their own country to be. Also, as a religious leader, you know, there's not a lot of lesbian religious leaders out there that are doing this kind of work. There's not a lot of gay religious leaders that are out there doing this kind of work. So it gets a lot of interest from the media. So because I gain a lot of public scrutiny, the government has to be a little careful with what they do with me. So at this point, I'm not sure if I'm excluded. For a while, I was excluded, but I think now I can go back into the country.
Yeah, that's
I just
great.
Haven't been there. But I think that with the change of government this year, I should be allowed into the country.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Diane. That's fabulous. I've heard that story several times, but it just inspires me, and I just love hearing it. This program that we do here at Spirit Lounge, we're looking at spirituality and how we can help people to connect again with their spirituality, because many people in our community, as you know, have turned their back on that part of themselves because they've been hurt by religions. I just would like to talk to you about what it is that inspires you, that keeps you doing what you're doing?
Well, you know, I have this belief that that we are really all created in God's image, and where one suffers, we all suffer. And I, you know, when I work with people around the world, just seeing the hope in their faces and seeing the courage that they have, like I work with people in Africa and I work with people in Eastern Europe, and they are so courageous. They live in just, you know, extreme situations, and yet they are filled with just wanting to be people of faith and really wanting to be acknowledged for who they are, even in really awful situations. And they love with such an open heart that it inspires me to continue on, because in each one of them, I see Christ. I see God. I see the sacred. You know, it's an amazing thing. I have this inside of me from the time I was a little girl, a belief in what's fair or what's just. And God requires us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. And I think that really resonates for me, that if I'm not doing this, if I'm not living my faith actively, then I can't really call myself a person of faith. And this is the way I live my faith actively, is to stand with those who are marginalized in some way. And because we are all in the same, where one is marginalized, we're all marginalized. We've been through that. I went through it when we fought for LGBT rights in Canada. But nothing as extreme as these situations. And I think that just seeing that courage and believing in our call to stand together, I can't help but want to do it. And the response from all of the metropolitan community churches around the world is incredible to this kind of ministry. And it really is a worldwide church. When there's something bad happening somewhere, you know, we'll get support from places where you might think that it's just as bad. But no, we seem to be able to work together to strengthen each place, and that is inspiring.
Does that
answer your question?
It certainly does, Diane. And it's been totally inspiring listening to you. And I really hope one day you write your memoirs. Please do.
Yes, I think my daughter needs to write them. She's much better at that sort of thing.
Well, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to talk with you and to listen to your stories. And truly inspirational, the work you're doing, especially, as you were saying, in parts of the world that need your help and need your guidance. We're going to leave it there. Drive safely, and I hope you beat the snow.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and thank you for connecting with me, and good luck with the show.
Well, thank you so much, Diane. And that was Diane Fisher and our interview that we actually recorded on Friday with her over in Massachusetts in the States. And what an absolutely amazing woman. And I know, Joy, you've met her.
Yeah, she's absolutely incredible.
And I hope one day to meet her too. Yeah. She sounds amazing. Now, here's something a little different. You are listening to Joy 94.9. And as Diane is a true monarchist, please be upstanding for her next track.
And yes, you are on Joy 94.9 with Rev Joy and Bertie. And a big thank you to Andrew for your SMS. And also a special hello to Adrian and Zach the Feral, Jack Russell. Glad you're enjoying the show. Well, it's that time of the night. And Peter, I want you to get your gear off, and I hope you're wearing some budgie smugglers or something decent. We're going to get in the spa with Bertie.
I have never been in a spa with two lesbians before.
What a great experience for you.
This is a virgin experience for me.
There's a first time for everything. Now, before we talk about my berries...
with ice cream and cream.
You guys are having ice cream and cream. Peter, last week we were talking about detoxing and drinking lots of water, and you tried it.
Yes, I have, and I feel very cleansed. It has been fantastic. I won't say completely given away coffee. I did have a couple during the week, but I have been drinking green tea and 3 to 4 bottles of 600 mils of water every day, and you do really feel cleansed from the experience.
Wow, you see, it does work. You see, we're all walking around, working and everything. We're dehydrated, our organs are dehydrated. And look, Peter feels better.
He's glowing, isn't he?
He is, he is.
But we can help him with the dandelion.
Now we can.
Yes.
I've been given a present, ladies and gentlemen, this week. I would like to say a huge, enormous thank you to Ivan.
Are you sure about that?
Well, wait. To Ivan and to Noel and to Max. Good evening, gentlemen. And I heartfelt thank you for this present. Now, I'm looking at a box of roasted, no less, dandelion tea. And this is what we're all meant to be drinking to detox. It looks totally disgusting.
It probably tastes like that too.
But I'm going to try it, and next Monday I'll tell you what it's like. Okay, but boys, thank you so much. That's very, very generous. And I've never tried it in my life before, so as we were saying, this was the first time. Now, I would like to talk about berries. And there is something which is really hitting the press in a big way, and I've been researching it like mad, and I wanted to share it with you all. You may have seen the acai Get Slim promotion or the acai McClens hype in all the media lately. It's taken the weight loss world by storm, and it's been talked about by the likes of Oprah on TV. And due to this recent high profiling, global demand for this fruit has expanded rapidly, and it's now cultivated and harvested in countries like Belize and Brazil and Peru. Now, it's spelt A-C-A-I, but it's pronounced acai. The acai, and it's also known as the purple berry. And it's found growing on the palm trees of the Amazon rainforests. And these palms are called the tree of life by the locals, as the acai berry has been a staple diet for them, providing fibre and nutrition and protein. Now, antioxidants help to recycle, repair and replenish our cells efficiently. We were talking a little bit about that last week. By preventing oxidative stress. And oxidative stress may contribute to the most common diseases, heart disease, diabetes, immune dysfunction, strokes. It's been heralded as nature's perfect food or nature's superfood by the US Health Science Institute, as it has very low sugar content, not acidic or bitter. It contains over 10 different forms of vitamin, minerals, calcium, magnesium, zinc, protein, folic acid, and iron. It contains essential fatty acids, plant sterols, a high concentrate of antioxidants, essential oils, including omega 3, 6, and 9, and low GI and high fiber. These berries are absolutely amazing. Now, what was interesting was an Australian journalist recently decided to put these products to the test and applied for a bottle of acai Get Slim, which has had rave reviews in the press. And most of the success stories talked about combining the acai berry with colon cleansing. Now, I think I'd rather...
Dandelion?
I think I'd rather take an acai berry than go for that colonic irrigation, wouldn't you? Sounds horrible.
It doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good. So anyway, you can do the colon cleansing product to complement it for maximum weight loss. So she chose the colon Get Slim to test as well. So she embarked on a 4-week trial, taking one Get Slim pill and one colon Get Slim pill every day. Now, the really important thing to note about this is she did not change any other part of her daily routine. Okay, so she didn't increase exercise, she didn't cut out booze, she didn't do anything like that. So week one, this is just fascinating, energy levels were up, she wasn't hungry, felt fantastic, and she lost 9 pounds. Week two, better quality sleep, lost another 7 pounds. Week three, lost a further 6 pounds, still had lots of energy, and improved digestion. Week four, skin improved, and lost 3 more pounds. Now, the conclusion she wrote is it works. Total weight loss was 25 pounds, no special diet and no intense exercise. Absolutely phenomenal. So I've applied for the trial pack, and my beloved who wants to lose weight is going to trial it for the next 4 weeks. And when Anne's finished, in 4 weeks' time, we'll see if it works or not.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.